Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you in the wonderful name above every name, that glorious and matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. On yesterday's broadcast, I began a message speaking about a new revival that God is going to bring in these last days. He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And I just feel to wait upon the Lord and obey the Lord. Lord, right now, you see those who are listening. Lord, there are some that feel like a dried up, dead old leaf, like a leaf dried, blown in the autumn winds. But Father, I just know that you're sending your fire. You're sending a refreshing that is going to cause your people to become as a flame of fire in the Spirit. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, my beloved, I have seen the dry place, and I have seen the wilderness place that, yea, so many of my children have walked in. But I am speaking by the Spirit of the Lord. I am speaking to your inner man, and I say, come, come and receive of your God. I have an anointing for you and not another. I have a blessing for you. I have an increase and an enlarging of the place of where you reside. Enlarge the place of your tent, says the Lord. Yea, prepare to receive an outpouring and an outflowing of the Spirit of God in your life, that you shall be able to do those things that seem so hard and so difficult, and you've drawn back. But I, the Lord, am anointing my people. I give to you a holy boldness. Is it not written that the righteous shall be as bold as a lion? Even so, beloved, I will take your weaknesses and transform you into the very image of the Lord. You shall speak my word. You shall walk in my anointing. You shall move in my authority. You shall claim my power. And with those things that you decree and declare, they shall come to pass, says the Lord. Concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. Yea, pray for the souls of men. Yea, pray for the salvation of your loved ones. Yea, be available and willing and ready to witness and to give an answer for the hope that dwells within you, says the Lord. It is I that shall do this work, that the Lord himself and alone may be glorified. Praise me and receive even now a refreshing, a strengthening that you need for the hour in which you are living, says your God. Praise me, for I am the Lord, and beside me there is none other. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the name of our God. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, beloved, I feel the stirring of the Spirit of the Lord, and I want you to know that God has had but one purpose and interest since the fall of man, since that tragic day in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve chose to sin and disobey God. And what has been that purpose? What has been that divine preoccupation, that divine obsession, if you will? That is to bring man back to himself. The whole dispensation, the old and the new covenants, was for this one purpose and for this one end. God had a people. He created a people for himself. They were called the Jews, the Hebrews, and he had one purpose in this nation. And their operations and their purpose, their destiny, was for one end. And all their worship pointed to that one end, to bring the nations of the world to the true knowledge of God, and ultimately to bring in the Messiah of the world. That's what happened. However, we know, as it says, it's recorded in John, he came to his own, and his own received him not. Oh yes, he hasn't forsaken the Jews. At the time of the end and in the millennial kingdom, they will all the purposes, all the promises that God gave to Abraham will come into existence and into reality. But Jesus had but one interest in coming into the earth, and his second coming waits for this one thing also, when this gospel shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come. And so, as we know these beautiful truths, that this is the heart of God, this is why Jesus came, this is why before the world was ever created, the entire beautiful plan of salvation was worked out in the heart of God, we have to ask ourselves some question. Is what we're doing in our individual lives, or if we expand it and look corporately at the body of Christ, the church of the Lord God, are we working with all of our resources for this one purpose and to this one end? Are we identifying with the very purpose and heart of God, the desire of God? That certainly doesn't mean, as some have inadvertently preached, a heaping up of property and riches more than we need for ourselves. It doesn't mean getting all of our desires fulfilled and then basically tossing the Lord what's left over. You know, we've had the order totally reversed since the early church. They were on fire for God, and that fire unfortunately has burned out because of strife and division and denominational differences. But as God moved and worked within the early church, he's the same. He hasn't changed, and he requires of everyone else exactly the same kind of consecration. In the fourth chapter of Acts, verse 32, it says, "And the multitude of them," referring to the believers, "that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." Now, beloved, that we are living in a different era, that does not mean we have to go and live communally. But what Luke is talking about here, as he wrote the book of Acts, or the Acts of the, not of the apostles as much as the Acts of the Holy Spirit, he was referring to a heart condition, that they realized they were but stewards of everything that God had given them, and they experienced the unity and the love that comes from making Jesus Christ truly Lord. Beloved, we have to ask ourselves, are we as committed? You know, I'm not talking about finances, although certainly that includes finances. Under the Old Covenant, there was a law of tithing that the obedient Israelites were to follow, of the flocks of their herds, of the produce of their crops. But in this new covenant, there's no law on tithing, not one-tenth in this great end-time hour, but basically all we have to recognize, belongs to the Lord. And he loves a cheerful and a generous giver of all of our resources. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about our time. I'm talking about our abilities, our bodies. Are they not the temple of the Holy Spirit? And we are to be 100% for him at all times. We belong to him. He's created us and bought us back. He's redeemed us by his blood. We've become his property. He's redeemed us from the devil. In no sense do we belong to ourselves. Well, that's certainly not the mentality of the world. You know, I'm my own man. I can do what I want. We've been redeemed, you and I, with the precious blood of a lamb. Beloved, when you think about it, what God has done for us, and how privileged we should feel that we can devote ourselves to the very same interests, the very same desires that are on the very heart of God. How long would it take, or have taken, to evangelize the world under this kind of mentality? Just think about these things. Is the church actually operating and moving in divine order? We look at the religious systems of the past, or even today, the nominal denominations, the lukewarm Christians. We look back in history since the early church, and today, much of what we see is largely a hybrid institution. Oh, thank God for those folks and those congregations, those churches, those home meetings that are on fire for God. Yes, God has people that love Him with all of their heart. And that's why I'm on this broadcast, to stir up that desire, that longing, that love in all of us. And I include myself in that company. But we've seen in the past the church full of strife and selfishness and disobedience and corruption. Its kingdom has become of this world rather than a heavenly citizenship with spiritual weapons concerned about the things of God. Beloved, we have to get back to basics. We have to get back to doing the things that Jesus has asked of us. Revival, like stars, are appearing on the horizon at the command of God. We are in the end of days, and this is true evidence of a real work of God, that God is glorified and worshiped, and men are not. So often, we've focused on great individuals, and they've been mightily used and anointed of God. But we have to recognize that God takes the weak things. Look who He chose. Yes, He chose the Apostle Paul, a tremendously gifted and educated and learned Pharisee who was able to write most of the New Testament and reveal the deep secrets and mysteries of God's kingdom, the things that had been hid for centuries. And yet, those that he lived and worked with, he chose simple men, fishermen. He had ordinary people. Beloved, we need to get our eyes on Jesus. We need to understand that God is doing a work in this day where there's not a ministry that's going to be exalted. There's not a name that's going to be exalted except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone deserves glory. He alone deserves praise. He alone suffered and died that we might live. How great. Can you imagine what heaven is like? It's filled with the worship and praise of God. Beloved, we should be echoing that same joy, that same revelation, that same understanding. Praise God. Well, I could go on for an hour, but my time is drawing to a close, so I must bring this broadcast to an end. But I invite you to seek God, to meditate upon the things I've shared. What part does God want you to play? Amen. We all have a destiny. We all have a role to play, and none is greater than the other. Praise God. Well, I must bring this broadcast to a close with an invitation for you to share your prayer request. The announcer will give our contact information. I invite you to write, "I thank you so much for your prayers." And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,